Different people, different plans. Now APS customers can pick from 6 new service plans. Whether you want the ultimate in convenience or you want to maximize savings, you'll find the right plan. Visit our website to see all your options. And if you switch to a time of use plan, you'll be entered to win a smart thermostat. Pick your plan and switch today. No purchase necessary. Ends December 31st, 2017. Select Arizona residents 18 or older. See APS.com/plans for complete rules, including alternative methods of entry. Sponsored by Arizona Public Service.
Blessings and welcome to another episode of Heart on Radio. This is your host, Shauna Ava, and I would like to welcome our special guest for today, Kalia LaRoche. Are you there, sweetheart?
I am here.
Oh, good. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. I want to thank you so much for being here today. I feel very fortunate to have had a personal experience with your work, which is really what inspired me to have you on the show today. And we're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff, but the basic premise will be past lives and your work as a clinical hypnotherapist in this arena, as well as that sort of parlaying into the ability to connect with your client's higher selves. So I guess without further ado, I love to start each episode with three breaths. So I'll ask you to join me now. If you wouldn't mind, we'll just do some grounding and clearing breaths. Does that sound all right?
Sounds great.
Okay, perfect. All right. And just breathing in. Okay. That is one of my favorite parts of the show. It's just getting that grounded feeling.
Yeah.
So where shall we begin? I have been, you know, I just want to open up with, again, thanking you for being here today. I know you are such a busy woman, but the work that you do is so incredible. It's so fascinating and transformative for people. And I know that you're a shamanic practitioner. You do clinical hypnotherapy. And among other things, you are also an author and a musician. And I really get a sense that you are very connected and that you are walking in your purpose. So I'm hoping we can learn a little bit about how we can each do that a little bit better. You know, this story must have started somewhere. So I would love if you would share with us just how your journey began in working in this field.
Well, in working in the field, I was 26 years old and I was dating a man who was a smoker. And back then I was still of the belief that we could change people. So I was pretty young and I basically said, well, I can't be with a smoker. I can't, you know, there's no way I would live with you smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Ooh. And he ended up going to a hypnotherapist. And he came back after one session, a non-smoker, and he never smoked again. I ended up marrying him and having a child with him. And he said, you know, you would be really good at this. And he gave me the information of the school that his hypnotherapist went to. And I was signed up with that school within a month and opened my own business at the age of 26 as a clinical hypnotherapist and a counselor. I was doing a lot of holistic counseling as well. So that's where I began. And I really began in the field of smoking and weight loss, eating disorders. I'd had an eating disorder myself as a teenager. So it was a natural migration for me to work in that field. And then as the years went on, you know, my work really evolved as it tends to for anyone. You know, it followed my passion. And I actually avoided past life regression because once you become a hypnotherapist, everybody asks you if you'll do past life regression. And I said, no, you know, I really don't. I'm not into it. I said, I think this life is what's important, not past lives. So I never got into it. I tended to avoid that kind of work. But my work was always spiritual and it became more and more spiritual. And it wasn't until I was introduced to Dolores Cannon. She's pretty world famous as a past life regressionist. When I was introduced to her work, did my passion finally kind of awaken for the past life. And that's where I started getting into that.
Wow. Yeah. And that's sounds pretty similar to Dolores Cannon. I know she also started with the addictions. That seems where everyone started. And then it evolved into, she was just tapping into to past lives. And she said, okay, let's just keep letting this roll. So I don't know if you had a similar experience where there were messages coming through that were like, well, this doesn't have to do with smoking.
Well, you know, I did get a few past lives spontaneously, just as Dolores did. And I went with it. I worked with it. It's not that I didn't. And this was when I was young. But it was more that the spiritual work started happening more and more. I started working more with the, you know, the higher self and the inner child and more using hypnotherapy for deep healing purposes. I got away from working with smoking and weight loss as a primary focus and started working more with recovery from abuse and helping people to find themselves on deeper levels. And, you know, it just took more and more of a spiritual direction.
Right.
And so, you know, it was just time. I think it was just time for me to go that next level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like it. And I would love to walk people through a little bit of what a session is like and how you're able to tap into these past lives, because I've had the experience firsthand, so I know how it is. And for those who haven't maybe had that experience, it's a little unusual. You do, and this is probably a common thing that you hear. There are different levels of hypnosis or trance. And if you are not too deep into, I know there's like a light trance. Is that where you typically work? It's like a more surface level, and then there's the deeper level. But it can tend to feel like you're almost just making things up. You're going in trance and answering these questions. So I would I would love for you to walk us through a little bit of the process and how you can sense from your client what level they're at and what level you like to work at, et cetera.
Sure. Well, of course, I always like to work at the deeper levels because it gets the conscious mind out of the way. But, you know, I don't think it's so much our intention of the level that as a hypnotherapist that we take someone. It is more that each person tends to go to a different level. So when you're doing the induction, you're doing the relaxation, you're doing the process that we call hypnosis induction, you know, whether I'm doing past life regression or whether I'm just doing healing work, I like to take a client to a pretty deep state, you know, so that we're not fighting so much with the conscious mind. However, it's really typical when you go into trance that the conscious mind is still awake and aware and jabbering on and criticizing and analyzing and evaluating while you are doing the work, while you are going into hypnosis, while you are there. And so I usually let people know that, you know, that oftentimes your conscious mind still is very much involved, and try not to pay too much attention to it because it still thinks it wants to direct the show and, you know, kind of have control. It's really about having control. We don't like to let go of control. And so the deeper we go, the more that conscious mind kind of lets up, and the more we work directly with the subconscious mind. And okay. so the process in which we take people there is a very, you know, it's just really a deep relaxation process. I like to work with the breath a lot. That was really great to do those three clearing breaths, because I like to normally start my sessions with breathing. Mm. Now, I was also trained. I was trained with Dolores Cannon's work, quantum healing hypnosis. And there's a specific induction technique that we use for her her type of session, for the quantum healing hypnosis sessions. But it's all pretty much the same in that it just is really designed to take you into a deep state of relaxation, you know, into a theta state.
Okay.
And a theta state is right before that sleep state. So you're not asleep. And a lot of people that don't understand hypnosis think that they're going to be put to sleep on some level, that they won't remember anything. And I'd have to say probably 80% of people remember their sessions. There's mm-hmm. maybe 20% of people that go really, really deep and they don't remember what's happened in the session.
Wow.
They don't have the recall, or they feel like maybe they were dreaming. But most people do remember.
Wow.
They're fully aware. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry, continue.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned making stuff up, so I didn't want to not address that. That when you're doing past life regression, that a lot of people think that they're making stuff up. And even Dolores Cannon talked about that. And she's like, you know, world famous past life regressioner. And, you know, she said, you know, a lot of people think that they're just making it up. Because when you get to that state where you start, you know, checking in, you know, you're already in the state of hypnosis, start checking in with what are you seeing, what are you feeling, what's there. You know, we start really, really focusing on, you know, after we regress you to a certain point, on where you are, what you see, what you feel, working with the senses. And, you know, most people are pretty good at just going along with it. But in that conscious mind that I said always likes to control things.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're just making this up.
Right.
This is, you know, this isn't real. But the thing is that if you go a little deeper and ask yourself the question, well, would you really make that story up? Most people would say, well, no, I'd probably make up something a little more fun or a little more, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was Marilyn Monroe, and I'm seeing a lot of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're going to make something up, sometimes the stories that people tell, it's like, well, that's a pretty darn good imagination to be making that one up. And
precisely.
So, yeah.
No, yeah. Precisely. And I also feel that, you know, because I had a session or two before I was able to work with you. And that was an unusual experience because it was on camera for something. So who knows where I really went. But, you know, although my conscious mind was kind of saying, oh, it was just going to the first thing that I was sensing or thinking or feeling, although it felt a bit like making it up, at the same time, if you are responding with that first thought or feeling, then there must be some truth to that. Because why, you know, that's, if that makes sense, it's almost like you're getting a hit on that random thing, because it's probably not so random. And then in addition, I remember experiencing a lot of emotion. So I'm like, how am I sobbing through this story that I feel like I'm making up? I'm really just saying the first thing that's coming to mind or to heart or to my mind's eye. But I was really crying throughout the whole thing. So that, I guess, would be some proof in the pudding that maybe you know, although your brain wants to explain away that you're just making this up, you're clearly not. So, you
right,
know,
I'm
sure you see a lot of emotional reactions from people as they're in session with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, the way Dolores Cannon teaches quantum healing hypnosis, it's really, she calls it, she doesn't call it past life regression. She calls it quantum healing hypnosis. And the reason mm-hmm. she does that is it's beyond just past life regression. Just past life regression would, okay, let's just see what you were in a past life. Let's just see what you were. But this is about, let's work on healing.
Yes.
The places you might have gotten stuck, that you didn't do completion, that you didn't get a full completion so that you could bring all of your energy and attention to where you are right now in this present experience, that we leave parts of ourselves behind in these traumas, you know, right. The traumas of the past, the traumas that our spirit that has journeyed through so many different lifetimes and experiences, not just lifetimes, as you know, from your own experience. And not that mm-hmm. I remember everybody's session, but not everybody goes to a past life. Sometimes they go to in between. Sometimes they are on other planets. Sometimes they're having a, you know, stop off at a resting place and just kind of in that beautiful, sweet, you know, oneness.
Yeah.
And so people find themselves at all these different places along the journey, along the timeline.
Yeah. Now
it may not be a past life.
Yeah, no, I'm curious with the, I love that the intention is for healing, because why else would you go and look? It's like, you know, you want to go have this intention with healing and transmuting so that you can clear whatever may be on replay in this lifetime. And when it comes to healing, say, because I know it's been said that people can say they always suffer from a back pain and they're like, What is this? They'll go and have a therapeutic session, a regression session, and they'll find out they were maybe killed that way in a past life. I'm wondering how you've seen in your work the healing. Is it like an instantaneous thing? Is it with several sessions? Is it just these people kind of, they have this session and lo and behold, it just slowly that pain starts to alleviate? How does that play out?
Well, it really depends. Now, the idea here is that each soul is here for a purpose, and each lifetime has a lesson and a purpose. And so one of the reasons that we go back is because if you did not complete a lesson or a purpose in a past life, of course, you're going to have to repeat it. You have to do it again. And so it's really good to understand what the lesson and the purpose is. And so if you, a trauma in a past life, say for when I did a past life session myself, when I was in that place having a session, I was hung in one of my lives. And wow. This life, I've always had a really funny stuff around my neck. Don't touch my neck. Don't wear turtlenecks. Don't wear chokers. Don't wear, you know, I don't want anything on my neck. So I have weird stuff around my neck. And so, you know, you can have these things that carry over. It mm-hmm. could also result, say, in neck pain or, you know, reoccurring stuff around the neck. Reoccurring fears. So that's just one example. And as you go into that past life and you can release the trauma from being hung or stabbed or whatever it is that you experienced, then it can release the trauma on the timeline. It doesn't have to carry forward. So you may have an instantaneous healing. And I've seen these. I've witnessed them in my training with Dolores Cannon's work. I've witnessed them in other sessions that people have instantaneous healings. There's been people who have, you have to be very careful about saying this, but who had cancer when they went into their session and didn't have cancer when they came out. Let's put it that way.
Gosh.
And so, you know, there's some really amazing things that happen. But when people come in with the expectation, so say somebody comes in and they've got a serious physical issue and they come in with the expectation, okay, I want to heal this issue with hypnosis. It's okay to come in with the intention. However, if your life purpose is involved with why you're experiencing that issue, meaning you need to learn from it in some way, you need to learn to be still, you need to learn to be quiet, you need to learn to be humble, whatever it is that you need to learn, and that physical ailment is teaching you, then it probably is not in your highest and best interest that it be immediately removed. So what your higher self will probably tell you, and that's the second part of the session that I do that we can talk about in a bit, but you know, we work with the higher self too, and the higher self will say, well, she needs to learn to do this, and when she does this, then the symptoms will start to go away. Or she needs to get this lesson, and when she gets this lesson, she won't have a need for those symptoms anymore. And sometimes she needs to learn something that she's already learned or that she's integrated in the session. And so the hypnotherapist will say, well, is there any longer a need to have these symptoms? And the higher self will say, no. And so then the therapist will say, well, can you remove them now? And, you know, the higher self will say, yes, we can. So it's really funny that you really have to ask directly sometimes, would you please remove these symptoms? Yes, we can. And that happens. And I've had clients that have reported back to me that they had a symptom when they came in that was no longer there after the session.
Wow. That seems to be so much of the theme with spiritual work is simply asking you to ask for guidance, right? To ask the angels for help, to simply ask and know that they are there as backup, you know, they are there as your squad, your entourage, ready to jump in, and you simply just need to ask. So I love that you touched on that, because, you know, whether it be, I think, aloud or internally, asking is asking, you shall receive.
Yes, because we're dealing with the law of non-interference.
Right.
So they cannot interfere unless asked. And that's why I tell everybody, you want world peace, ask, you know, ask for interference, ask for all the beings out there that are watching over us to help us to usher in, you know, world peace, because that's the same. It's not just for personal, it's for global. Right. We have to ask.
Yes, I love that. And so when you're, okay, just to touch on the healing a bit more, when you're in there and say you know, like for you, I'll just use your example. You're in there and you saw yourself being hung. Now, was it simply by seeing that maybe on a subconscious level, you were like, oh, now I know why I'm freaked out about the neck. Okay, clear release. Or do you actually go in and sort of rewrite that timeline or where you no longer were hung, or you change things on like a holographic kinetic level?
Well, you know, for me, it wasn't really about neck pain because I wasn't having, I just was touchy about my neck. So I didn't, that's not what I needed to clear. For me, it was the backstory of being hung was that I was considered a witch because I was practicing herbs. I was working with healing herbs.
Wow.
And in that time, if you were a woman and you practiced healing arts of any sort, you know, you using herbs to heal sickness or anything like that, you were considered or could be considered a witch. And that would mean, you know, those Inquisition days that anytime you showed your power as a woman, you were burned or hung or something like that. And so I was kind of having some challenges of being in my power as a woman and, you know, how speaking out and using my gifts fully without persecution, because I had certain people in my life that were always finding fault with me and persecuting me in a sense. And I had to kind of move beyond that to where I could be really strong in myself, even though a certain group of people that evidently I had been reincarnating with, because a few of those people were actually the ones that were responsible for my being hung.
Wow.
In that life. So then I could see the pattern. I could see, oh, that's why they're not very nice to me now. They just weren't successful at completely destroying me. I'm back.
Well, so, okay. So in your case, it was more the reasoning for your hanging that,
yes,
you know,
it was all energy around it. Yeah, that I was healing my personal power, really, because when you get hung for being powerful or gifted, healing people.
Right, speaking your truth.
Speaking your truth, that can make you afraid of your power.
Yeah.
Afraid of your gifts, afraid of using your gifts, afraid of speaking out. And boy, we're in a time right now where we need to get beyond that stuff. We've got to step right out there with who we are, with our gifts, shine our light, be bright, not
right.
fear
mm-hmm.
our own power. And so that was right. a big piece for me.
Do you see that as a common theme in your work with clients? Because I feel like that's trending. I feel like people... sort of, yeah, not feeling their power, not being able, feeling kind of trapped in a cycle that they're not able to speak their truth or really stand in their power. They're like, gosh, I know I can do so much more than I'm doing. Is that a common theme, or is there a main common theme with the work you do with clients?
You know, there really is a common theme that doesn't have anything to do with the lifetimes that we access, but it has to do when we get to the part where we communicate with the higher self and really is about stepping into our power right now and being who we've come here to be, sharing our gifts and shining our light. That is completely across the board. It is, you know, we're in a time of really powerful transformation. I probably don't have to tell you or anybody listening that. It's pretty obvious. And so because we're in such a time of powerful transformation, we're all needed. We're all called to be here to help usher in this kind of new age of peace and harmony amongst ourselves and each other.
Yes.
And so so we have to, one, know who we are, and two, release our fear of stepping fully into who we are, our gifts, power, and share that with the world.
Yeah, I completely agree. I know easier said than done, but with, you know, with sessions like you offer and with meditation and this sort of personal inner work, it really is attainable. And to me, you're a testament of that, because as I'm hearing a bit of your background, where you came from, I mean, had trouble, you know, stepping into your power, speaking your truth. Well, that's out the window, because now you're an author, you're a musician. You are, to me, just expressing yourself in so many lovely ways and inspiring others to do the same and helping so many, And just shining your own light, it just helps others to feel like, oh my gosh, me too, I can do it too. So, you really are a testament to that. It's so exciting and fabulous. And I want to jump into the higher self next and the connection that you are able to, facilitate between the client and their higher self. But quick question for you, when it comes to, I know you do work, you work a lot with narcissism and sort of the archetype of narcissism and victim mentality or archetype, because that that happens a lot out there. I feel like one can feel like they've either played one or the other. Well, maybe the narcissist wouldn't be able to come to terms with that.
Right.
But I definitely know that I have struggled with the victim mentality and the victimizing myself and feeling, again, that sort of feeling not in my power. But here's my question with it. When it comes to visiting these past lives, are you noticing that either that someone will play the victim role over and over until they get it straight, or perhaps are they playing the opposite role in a past lifetime, and then they come back and you know, they were the narcissist, and now this lifetime they've come back the victim? It's, you know, I'm curious how maybe you're seeing that karma or that lesson plan play out, or if you're able to really sense that.
I hear you. And it's a very good question. And it's both, because sometimes people will, when they wonder why they're being victimized so much or feeling so much like a victim in this life, they might find that they were the persecutor in a past life, you know, maybe even with the same person, the same souls. And so now this life, they have to be on the receiving end to see how it feels in order to kind of bring that into balance, you know, to learn compassion and the things that they need to learn from being the persecutor. And, you know, in my case, I was kind of the victim in that life and the victim in this life with the same people, so to speak. Mm. And so I was healing, like I said, I was healing a personal power issue and a victim issue, as you're talking about learning. Victim, you know, we're victims when we feel powerless, when we feel like we don't have power in a situation. And sometimes we genuinely are. A lot of people say, well, there are no victims. Maybe in the grander spiritual sense of things, but, you know, if we're going to get real, if you were to be raped or murdered or stolen from, at that time, you're a victim of, you know, whatever it is that you find yourself in. The whole idea is to not stay one, to not stay disempowered, but to get your power back and to realize, you know, that you have power. So sometimes the karma of a situation is you hurt someone in the past, you're going to be hurt in the present. Sometimes it's a pattern of spiritual evolution that you are needing to learn to be powerful in yourself.
Right.
And so you're going to keep coming up against these situations where you're feeling victimized so that you can learn to overcome that and step into your power.
Right. Okay. How would you say that you worked on learning to overcome that? I love giving people homework. You know, if this is touching on anything that it resonates with people personally, how would you say that you sort of overcame that?
Well, for one, understanding that on some level that we choose to be victims. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about things like rape or, you know, some real violent crime kind of stuff. I'm talking about, because I work more in the field of abuse, when you're someone that finds yourself in one abusive relationship after another, there's something in your makeup that is drawing you towards the abuser, because there's something you need to heal in yourself. Once you can understand that consciously, you can start, you know, kind of releasing your identification with victim. You know, I don't know what it is. I always find myself with these guys that treat me bad or whatever. You know, that's a common theme for women.
Yes.
And it's like, well, we have to take responsibility for our part. For every victim, there's a persecutor. If you refuse to be a victim, you can't attract the persecutor anymore. And so we have to learn how to refuse to be a victim, which is, it doesn't mean, like with the people that get involved, I'm a specialist in narcissistic abuse. So I'm working with a lot of victims of narcissistic abuse. And I get a lot of people that say, well, how can I stop attracting one narcissist after another? And it's like, well, you have to stop being a victim. Mm-hmm. How do I stop being a victim? Well, for one, when you've got to look at the kind of disempowering behaviors that cause you to be a victim. If somebody right. starts treating you badly, why do you stay? Why do you continue to accept that? And it's usually a feeling that you have within yourself that you're not worthy or not good enough or mm-hmm. something's wrong with you. And these are the, you know, so you attract somebody that treats you like there's something wrong with you, like you're not worthy, like you're not good enough. And so that button keeps getting pushed over and over and over. And it just further, you know, causes that feeling that I'm just not good enough. And, you know, there's something wrong with me. So we have to work on a really deep level to kind of purge those programs that say yeah. there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. I deserve to be abused. This is the best I can do. And once you really start understanding that and start developing self-respect and self-love and self-worth, then when somebody comes into your life and treats you badly, right there on the spot, when they start treating you badly, you'll say, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And leave. And that's where you start changing. It's not that suddenly magically you're in a different place and you absolutely don't attract somebody like that anymore. Sometimes you attract somebody a couple times just to learn how to say no. No, thank you. I don't want that anymore. I'm not going to allow that anymore. You need to treat me with respect or you need to leave. And so that's where we start taking our power back.
Right. Okay. So simply by being consciously aware that you are buying into the archetype, so to speak, and changing the way you respond to these triggers, that tends to put you in a position of more power, and it'll just continue to build from there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. And to develop strong self-respect, self-love, self-respect.
Yes.
Would somebody who respected themselves allow themselves to be treated like this?
Wow. It is so true. And you're spot on with the universe will come in and kind of give you some tests like, okay, now you've done a little, you've changed a bit. Are you sure this is where you're headed? I've noticed that in my personal life, you know, it'll say, it's like an extra little test. It's like, okay, pop quiz. You're still holding it. So let's move you know, let's continue you on the path towards a higher, greater, more empowered self. So hold on tight, you know, those pop quizzes come and they're, you know, just hold your ground. And I love that. And I want to encourage anyone who this is just because, Kalia, your work with, I just listened to just about every episode of Pandora's Box, your Podbean. And it's just, they're fantastic. And if this is resonating with anyone specifically, the narcissism or victim archetypes, I really encourage you to go on there and take a listen to some of this because it's really just, it's fascinating whether or not it's even something that is in you're experiencing in your life. It's fascinating to listen to and to learn about because then perhaps you have a different archetype that you can, you know, it just gives you more of a set of perspective on what potential programs or things that you may be running that you want to work on a little bit. So I commend you for your work there. It's astounding. And I wish we had time to talk about that even more, but there's so much to get into and I know I want to keep it past live and, but we had, okay, this is what was really fascinating about my session with you was this higher self connection. So we can sort of switch gears and we'll start to head that way. Explain, how that works for, you know, I remember in our session, it was something like, you know, we visited some past life types. And then what was really neat is you had me before the session sort of, we went over questions that I could ask my higher self. So in your words, who and what is this higher self entity or energy? And how is it that you are able to, or what is that you facilitate so people can connect with their higher self?
Well, the higher self, now Dolores Cannon in her work calls it the subconscious. I call it the higher self because the subconscious to me, you know, I've been working as a hypnotherapist for a long time and it's just doesn't feel right for me. It also, the subconscious is, you know, the body conscious, it's the inner child. There's so many different aspects. The higher self is our, I like to see it as the part of us that is eternal, that actually is connected to the cosmos, to source, to God, however you want to see that all powerful, all knowing source. And mm-hmm. So it's the part of us that is in and self, that is both self aware, that is aware of itself in that source. So it is source. It's not separate from source, but it is kind of the pinpoint of source that is narrowing its focus into our physical bodies. So it's the part of us that is connected to source and also focused in on our physical experience here as a human being in this earth planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been with us through the whole thing, an aspect of us and even us. It's a little bit, you know, it gets a little complicated to get into the whole spirituality of it. But it's the spiritual aspect of who we are and the part that is very connected and all knowing. So it has all the answers for our life. It knows our past lives. It knows our purpose for being here, and it knows the lessons that we've come here to learn. So it's the part of us that we refer to as the still small voice within. It speaks to us quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, where a lot of people have trouble hearing it is because the ego can be so, you know, the distorted ego can be so loud and obnoxious that it overpowers the still small voice within oftentimes. So even though the higher self is always trying to communicate with you and guide you, if your ego self, your distorted ego, is so loud and obnoxious that the higher self can't be heard, you may not feel connected to anything larger than your small self. And so when we go into these sessions, we get you so nice and quiet. And after a couple past life sessions, we've also in some ways disconnected you from your identity with the life that you're living now, because you've experienced yourself as something more than the person that you are right now. And so once you've kind of gone through that disconnect with your identity, you're more open to allowing that higher self to come through and speak. So we directly ask, while you're in hypnosis, we directly ask, may I speak to your higher self, or to Shauna's higher self, or to Kaylee's higher self, or whoever's there. And 9 times out of 10, I get a yes.
Oh, so you've had a no.
I've had a no. I've had a not getting anything. I've had people that just didn't go deep enough.
Right.
But most people do. Most people go there. And when we get a yes, I tell people, come to your session with a list of questions, just like if you were going to go have a psychic reading and you have this list of questions that you want to ask the psychic.
Right.
But you're asking something even more powerful than a psychic. You're asking your own higher self, the part of you that has all the information for your life, that knows all and absolutely wants the best. so you don't have to worry about a psychic's filter. Sometimes psychics have filters, meaning they're running it through their own personality, in a sense, and their own belief systems and things like that. Whereas when you're communicating with your own higher self, you're getting answers direct. You're going direct.
Yes.
So then I start just asking the questions. And I don't do it rotely. I don't just sit there and go, okay, first question. I weave them into a conversation. So I end up having a conversation with the higher self. This is all being recorded. So you have the recording to listen to later. Because most people, even though they say, yeah, I remember it, they don't remember all of it. Mm-hmm. There's some parts that might surprise them that they don't remember. So we record it, and I just start asking those questions. And boy, do I get all kinds of very interesting questions. You know, people come in with nice long lists and get some very interesting questions. But they get to hear the answers directly from their own voice.
Wow.
Their own higher self. And that is truly powerful because that higher self knows you. And I so often hear things like, she just doesn't listen. Oh, she knows this. She knows this. And it's like, yes, I know she probably knows this on some level, but would you please tell her on the recording so she can hear it again directly from you and it can be like a reminder.
And
you can hear the higher self can, you know, the higher self is very loving. It's a very loving energy, but sometimes it'll say something like, she can be really stubborn sometime, or, you know, it just, she just doesn't believe in herself enough. She needs to learn to believe in herself more. And that's what's getting in her way. And she knows what she needs to do. She's just, she's afraid. She's got to release that fear. And, you know, there's that kind of stuff we often hear in
right.
sessions when we're communicating with higher self.
Wow. So when you communicate with someone's higher self, are you noticing a different cadence or even terminology or words that they'll pull out? You know, I guess I'm thinking in terms of these, I've heard Barbara Marciniak, people who can really channel, it appears they channel other species and perhaps higher selves, et cetera. And they really, there's like a different kind of cadence to the way they communicate. Even their sense of humor is really interesting and dry. So I'm wondering if you notice anything when people start to communicate to the higher self. Does it sound different than when they're responding to you in past life questionnaire terms?
One thing I notice is that it tends to be much stronger, much more, you know, you don't have... you've got an all-knowing source here.
Mm-hmm.
And so confident. It is direct. It is in its power. So usually when I ask to speak to higher self, it's a powerful presence. And, you know, it can be very, very direct and confident and can have a sense of humor. You know, everyone's going to be a little bit different. You know, not everybody's higher self, of course, is going to show up the same. But
right.
But one thing I do notice is a real assuredness.
Mm.
You know, may I speak to higher self? Yes. And, you know, just very direct. So she's having this problem. Why is she having this problem? Because she does, you know, it's just very confident, very straightforward.
Mm.
And sometimes there might be a hesitation while the information's being accessed. Like if I say, well, she's having problems with, you know, with her digestion. Can you tell me what's going on there? There might be a pause.
Right.
And it's like,
okay.
Well, do I need to ask again? Or there'll be a pause because, you know, she's actually doing a body scan.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm wondering if you feel if there is any type of palpable energy difference that's comes into the room, perhaps, that you sense during that time?
You know, I'd never really thought of it like that before, but now that you mention it, yes, because I get so excited when I'm communicating with higher self. It's like I've got a direct line to God. I'm like so excited. So yes, my energy, you know, is feeling the energy of this higher self, and just so excited. And it's so loving and so positive and strong. And it is a different energy. It just almost feels like, okay, there's, you know, God's in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're like, we can play microphone. Yeah. Well, I'm here with God today, and he's got some interesting things to say. But it's so fantastic. This is something that I'm assuming people can do, they can work on immediately. Like we said, kind of the, obviously meditation is a powerful thing, but then asking the universe for help, or your guides, your angels, or your higher self. This is something we can work on our own, correct? And connect with this omniscient version of ourselves.
Absolutely. I think once you have a session, you feel even more confident in that connection.
Yes.
So even though, you know, we can say, yeah, you, anytime you want, communicate with that higher self. When you've actually got your higher self on tape and you've had the experience of how it feels and how it shows up and what it says, then you start to recognize the voice in your waking reality from day to day. So when you talk about the cadence or how it sounds, once you kind of hear that through having a session, then it's like, oh, I can hear that voice saying, you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my higher self. You know what to do. Just do it. You can do this. You know, you got this. And, you know, you can start recognizing that voice and recognizing it as the voice of love, the voice of higher self, and be able to distinguish it from what I call the distorted ego, because our ego isn't very healthy, because it's a collective ego. It's part of a collective ego that's part of dysfunctional and narcissistic society.
Mm.
So the ego can be pretty harsh. It can be very controlling, has a lot of stake in you playing small, because it keeps you safe that way. If you don't come out of the box, then nothing can happen to you. So since the ego is trying to protect you in some distorted way, it wants to keep you in the little box, so you're nice and safe. And so then you're not going to be in your power. You're not going to step out. You're not going to speak out. You know, it's the voice that says, don't you dare step out there on that stage. People make fun of you. They'll ridicule you. Who do you think you are to go out there? That's a voice of ego, where the voice of higher self is, you know, I know you're scared, but this is why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Step out there. We're with you. You're not alone. You're never alone.
Yes, it's like a tender, loving, but firm parent. You know, that's the sense that I get. Yeah, and having had a chance to have a session with you and experience my higher self coming through, it was also interesting because it was almost as if this higher self was trying to find words within my vocabulary. It was like, you know, trying to explain concepts that are so large that we perhaps don't have our heads wrapped around, you know, the vocabulary to support. And it's like trying to find these words that Shauna doesn't really know yet at this point, or conceptualize on a scale that she could, that I could understand.
Yes, absolutely. That happens all the time too. That's kind of lost for words. And sometimes the higher self will say, I can't find the words to say what I want to say. It's almost like it gets a little frustrated trying to fit into the human language or the English language box.
Right.
You know, it's like it's trying to find the words, and it can be a little challenging because we are very limited. You know, we're very limited here.
Oh, we are. It's so much of like the more you know, the less you know kind of feeling. It's like there's just so much. It's so vast out there, and it's and that's why I think, you know, discernment is such an important part of it too. It's just, you know, read what you read and research and go within and then decide for yourself what really resonates. And, you know, let that be your navigational system.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole idea, is you got to stay connected. And when you're connected with that higher self, that is being connected to yourself. That is being connected to the part of you that's going to say, yes, this is true. This is true for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, or will say, no, this doesn't feel right.
Right. And I want to thank you so much for mentioning you. The way you put it was like a collective ego.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That really hit me. That really did, because... You know, it's you're like, gosh, why is this thing so out of control? Personally, I have one of those egos that'll maybe beat myself up a bit more. And I'm like, well, what did I do to you, man? Like, how'd you get so out of control? And the, you know, to hear that it's a collective experience, it's a oneness. So to hear that perhaps this ego is something that was built out of a collective program or consciousness. Whew, well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, no. The collective is pretty repressed in a lot of ways. So if you start to come out of repression, if you start to step out of the box, you know what I'm talking about? The box that kind of society fits in, that we do things a certain way. Things have to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. We don't do this. We do this. So there's a collective box that society fits in. And if you start to step outside of the box, it's kind of like if you've ever heard the analogy of the crabs in the pot. As one crab tries to crawl out of the pot, the rest of the crabs pull it back in because, you know, it doesn't want that crab escaping.
Wow.
And so we kind of have that happening with our egos is that, you know, the collective ego doesn't want you to escape the box.
Right.
Paradigm that most of society is in alignment with.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. No, I like that analogy. But if we're here, we are strong enough to come here and work on this exact timeline. And it feels like we are all working towards fighting that sort of earth plane or third dimensional ego. We are like a huge crusade in this awakening to transmute exactly that. So if you're feeling it, someone else is feeling it. You know, if whatever you're going through, there's someone else in the world who is feeling that exact same thing.
And there's so many people are talking about the ego, like Eckhart Tolle and Marianne Williamson in The Course in Miracles and stuff like that. Some people paint the ego as this evil entity, and it's not really, it's just unconscious. Really, the distorted ego is just not aware. You know, it's trying to keep you alive. It's trying to keep you from stepping out in front of that bus or jumping off the building. It's trying to keep your physical body alive. And so part of the keeping you in the box is, you know, maybe as a child, when you started to step out in the box, you got pulled back in because, you know, we want you to be a normal child, you know, and or we want you to be seen and not heard. If some more unconscious or abusive energies are present, you know, don't speak, don't talk, don't be seen, don't be heard. You know, you get all these messages. Yeah. And so that the ego kind of just takes over because you have to do what your parents want you to do. If you're going to survive, you have an awareness as a child. If you step outside of that box, you're not going to survive. Or if you have your parents' disapproval, you may not survive. So you have to keep your parents happy. So you're going to stay in that box that they want you to be in. And so the ego kind of takes over and for your survival says, you're going outside of the box. Danger, danger. Don't do that. So it's it's bad or evil, but it's just trying to protect you. And so you have to learn how to work with it.
Yeah. I'm being brought back to high school here. How many of us felt like they had to survive high school in some way or another?
Yes.
You know, to fit in, to wear the right clothes. I mean, I remember thinking like, Mom, if I have this skirt, it's so, you know, everyone's going to think I'm cool once I wear this skirt. smoker. I mean, just such silly stuff. And that's, you know, it's, oh gosh, child, that's a whole other thing. But truly, you know, as we develop in our childhood, we can really sort of cripple ourselves with some of the programs or things that we did that we thought to keep ourselves safe that just don't serve us anymore. And
well, nowadays it's how many likes are you getting on social media? You know, that's a big thing even amongst adults, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, how popular am I to the social media?
Yes.
That determines my worth and value in some way. And if I, so there might be fear to speak out. Of course, you do see a lot of speaking out, but for people, they can experience fear of speaking out and saying how they really feel, because it's so easy for somebody to post an opinion now on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can get this, you know, you can be torn down by the collective that way too. So it's really interesting where we are right now.
It is endlessly fascinating. I know, I feel like the internet is almost, it's become like a giant bathroom wall, you know, where people just like, they can leave these anonymous
yeah, kind of.
Random yeah, things absolutely. That are just like horrible. And oh my gosh, the internet, man, you're touching on something that I am endlessly fascinated and sort of tormented by, is this social media thing, because although I see the value in, you know, being able to connect with people across the globe and share messages, you know, high vibe messages, et cetera. And obviously you could Google anything and sort of expand your knowledge, but it's shown us really a lot of the social issues that are going on right now. And although it's so painful to see, it's also a blessing that we're able to see it now. So I don't know. It's just, it's kind of a giant mirror. And if we're not liking what we're seeing here, then, and now's a great time to go ahead and make some adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really time to follow our truth and to be who we are, to shine our light. And, you know, I'm not really a big proponent of social media anymore. I post now and then something that I might be passionate about, but I don't spend a lot of time there. Just, I find it to be an energy drain, and I really want to put my energy in ways that are really going to be good for me.
Hear, hear. I totally agree with that. I've had moments where I've thought, God, aren't we over this yet? I remember Facebook, you know, when I was like in high school, just kind of coming out, and I'm like, well, aren't we bored yet? Like, are we, let's move on to the next thing. Are we? But alas, it continues, and there must be some great lesson there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And gosh, when I was a kid, we didn't have anything like that. We still had just landline phones, and that was it.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, someone walks out the door, and that's it. They walk out the door.
You walk out the door. That's it. And so some of us, you know, in my age group are saying, I'm 56 right now. So some people in my age group are saying, hey, do you remember how did we ever survive without the internet or cell phones? And it's like, I don't know.
I know.
How did we do it?
Yeah, for me, it's the GPS, man. I mean, if they took that from me now,
I'd become very dependent on our technology. Yeah.
Yeah, we have. Oh my gosh, it's interesting. It is so interesting. But I have just a couple of fun questions. I'm calling them fun questions because, you know, they're dealing with the past lives thing, and I'm so interested in this topic, and I'm just curious if you've ever worked with any children, because I've seen stories on television, and I have even close friends with young ones who will come in and they'll just be like, mommy, can you please call me so-and-so? That's my name. And, you know, they'll really like things that are perhaps from, you know, they are interested in areas that are so random and out of the blue. So I feel like some of these kids come in, or some people can come in with memories. And have you had, you know, past life memories? Have you experienced this or worked with any children?
Well, no, I don't. I don't work with children in hypnosis because that it's not really a very professional thing for me to do. You know, it's
right.
Working
yep.
with kids, but I'm very, very aware that kids come in with their memories, a lot of them, and even more so today because of where we are in our evolution, that a lot yeah. of kids are coming in fully awake now, fully aware of who they are. You're going to see this more and more. See, my son is 26 now. When he was little, he was talking about, you know, this whole scenario, just like it was yesterday, of a past life. I mean, I know it was a past life, and he would talk about that. He'd tell me the story, and I'd ask. Of course, I was curious way back then too. Like I'd ask questions, and he would just tell me. Almost like a young adult. I mean, he was talking like an adult. He was 3 years old at the time, three, 4 years old. And then when he was older, 7 or 8 years old, I'd say, so do you remember, you know, I think the name was Kingman or something that he would talk to me about Kingman. I said, do you remember Kingman? And he goes, a what? No, you know? At some point, the memories go away. But when they're really young, before all the conditioning comes in and all the programming comes in, and it wasn't from me because I was an open mother, you know, I was like open to all of it. I would talk to him about it. But there's just something about being immersed in the density of our planet and the conditioning and programming of the society and things like that, that at some point, you know, that the kids... memories go away of these past lives. Now they're saying that nowadays, because even though I don't hypnotize kids, and most of us, like in my training with Dolores's work, she says that, you know, they need to be 18 in order to work with them. That's just, you know, the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But some people have worked with their own kids. Some hypnotherapists have worked with their own kids. Because of course they can take the liability, and some people, when in past lives are talking to higher self, get a lot of information about the kids that are coming in now and how aware they are. And a good percentage of the kids coming in are very aware and awake and remember, remember who they are.
Oh my gosh. That is so exciting. And to me, it's really evident a particular film is coming to mind, Logan, which is kind of the story of, it's like an X-Men story. It's about, I can't think of his character name right now, but it was Logan, and they had probably 15 kids in there. And I'm talking, you know, 8 to 12 years old. And they spoke several languages, and their acting, like their performance, was so mature and so far beyond what I think even adults could pull off. I just had this, there was like this energy in their eyes that was so brilliant and all knowing. And it was so powerful. I thought, oh my gosh, look at these new kids coming in, man. I mean, that Shirley Temple was something, but this is like, I don't know what this is. This is the wisdom that is coming through with these kids that are just, it's so exciting to me. It's so beautiful.
It really is. I'm excited about that too, because if you think about it, if you think about all the kids, let's say a majority of the kids being born now are being born awake and aware. Imagine when they are at the age where their influence is, you know, basically that they're the ones making the difference in the world.
Yes.
Our world can transform because the old geezers that have all the dark agendas are going to just die off, you know. And these new kids will come up and take their place.
Yes.
And they're going to be more awake, more aware, more connected, more in divine love, more in a sense of their purpose, more in having that sense of community and, you know, just bringing in all this beautiful energy about living together as one community on the planet, you know, kind of bringing that heaven to earth, or what we call the new earth energy, you know, yeah. which is another thing that is coming through a lot of these sessions, is that, you know, where we really are creating a new earth based on yeah. a different timeline, a timeline that's based on love and connection.
Wow. So is this something you're, when you communicate with the higher self, is that what you're hearing a lot of, kind of a reference to a new earth?
Yes, absolutely. Several wow. of my clients have talked about it, but also Dolores Cannon has a whole book on it, mm-hmm. the new earth and the three waves of volunteers, she calls it, because she said that, that basically there are three waves of volunteers, which are souls that volunteered to come here to help usher in the, you know, basically the new earth, or some people might say to help transform the planet, but that's kind of what we're doing. We're transforming it to a new vibration of consciousness.
Wow.
And so all these people are coming in. And she said, you know, the first wave, they're people around my age, you know, into their 60s. They are the ones that had it the hardest, because we were kind of the ones that had to start shaking things up. So yes. that's where, you know, you get the stuff happening in the 60s. And, you know, this was really after the first atom bomb went off. And so there was threat of nuclear annihilation. And it's like, okay, Earth's in trouble.
Right.
Put out the call. Who wants to help? And all this foolish angelic souls up there are like, I will. And then we get down here and it's like, what the heck did I do? So, you know, we didn't realize how dense and heavy and how difficult it was going to be.
Oh,
but
right.
Then, you know, then the second wave comes in, and there are people that are in their, say, 30s and 40s now. And they're more, they're just more bright lights. That the second wave of volunteers are more bright lights. They're here just to, they don't necessarily have to do anything to make a difference. All they have to do is be.
Wow.
And, you know, what they do is their own choice, but just in their presence, they're making a difference. And then the third wave, you know, encompasses the children that are being born today all the way through children probably in their 20s. And, you know, the beauty of this is this third wave is what Dolores was talking about, these awakened children, the ones
yeah.
that are coming in awake. So, but they are coming in with a purpose, not just awake, but because we've kind of paved the way, because we can accept the awakeness now, where we couldn't have if it were in my day. I would have maybe been considered insane, and some people
right.
consider me insane
exactly.
now. So, but
and, right.
you know, the little kids, now we've paved the way, and so there's so many people that can embrace this awareness now from coming from the children.
Exactly,
it's really exciting.
Right. Have you heard any messages about perhaps a physical separation, almost like an atom splitting, the in regards to this timeline and this new earth? Because so many people are curious about how this is going to look. You know, are people just going to start evaporating into another dimension and we don't see them anymore? I'm wondering if you've heard anything or any messages have come through with regards to maybe more how that is going to look physically. For
yeah,
us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are talking about it in my mm-hmm. line of work, because people are coming through and they're talking about it. This is something that is happening right now. And, it's a little unclear exactly how it's going to look, but the way that I've kind of put it all together is that, yes, there is a timeline split happening right now. And back, gosh, in the year 2000, I actually had a vision while I was hiking, of all places to have vision. I'm out by myself in nature. I saw the earth. I saw a vision of the earth, and two earths began to pull away from each other.
Wow.
One was going one way, one was going off to the right, the other was going to the left. And at that time, I said, oh my goodness, we are splitting in two. That
wow.
one consciousness is going one direction and the other consciousness is going the other direction. So those that are choosing to live in lower level consciousness, that are choosing not to evolve, that are choosing not to be accountable or responsible, that are choosing to be, you know, in aligned with that dense narcissistic energy, aren't going to make the leap to the new earth, because that energy is the energy that's dying off, that's falling away, that can't go into the new paradigm. However, according to Dolores Cannon, who writes about this and has had thousands and thousands and thousands of past life regressions where people talked about this while in trance.
Oh my gosh.
That she said that, you know, the people that are choosing to stay in that dark energy, that dense energy, will continue on and live in the world that they've created.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are going to the new earth energy will continue on and live in the world that they've created. So the question is, well, how will it look, though? I mean, are we going to still see those people? Are we still going to interact with them? Are we still going to be on the same planet? And the thing is that we're actually going to be in a different dimension of consciousness. And mm-hmm. right now, different dimensions are all happening at one time. Well, it's always the case, but we can be living in 5D consciousness, and still be occupying what seems to be the same planet.
Mm.
But we may not be, because it's very possible that if we actually follow our spirit and we align with the people that we feel good with, that we feel safe with, that we feel valued and loved, and we start really just only aligning with those people, and like I say, respecting and loving ourselves enough to say no to the energies that are destructive in our life, that those energies begin to fall away and they cease to be part of our reality.
Mm.
And they just are no longer part of our reality. And Dolores says, well, you know, you just won't see those people anymore. They just won't be part of your world anymore. And it's like, yeah, but I know I could pick up the phone and call them if I wanted to. You won't
right.
want to.
Ah.
You won't want to. And a lot of the stuff we see on the media that is really dark, that's why it's so important to unplug from the media, because that keeps you in fear. And fear mm-hmm. is a lower level density energy.
Right.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You want to go to the evolving world. And so don't get caught up in all the drama and the trauma and the things that are going on in the planet, because that could be happening in 3D when you're actually moving to a whole different vibration. You're just mm-hmm. able to be aware of it right now.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just won't be aware of it anymore.
That is so well said. I love that. I love everything. And what a powerful position to be in. And again, it just comes down to this choice. And if you're making, you know, just continue making that choice that's in your highest interest and the highest interest of others, and you just keep on keeping on. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. I'm loving
it. It is. It's exciting.
And
I
don't want to keep you too long. I know you are so busy. And again, I appreciate you spending this time with us and sharing your wisdom and your light and your service. It's incredible. It's so inspiring. I just have another couple questions that are just kind of interesting little tidbits something you've experienced. I'm wondering if someone, you know, perhaps there's been a situation where a person has tapped into a past life and it was able to awaken a special skill, if there was a skill that was returned to them. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And actually, I do remember at one or two sessions like that where there was something, you know, a special skill or ability that's basically been there all along.
Right.
You know, I've had sessions where someone became aware of themselves, like as a shaman, in a past life. And had all these abilities as the shaman, And their higher self is like, yes, you have these abilities. Now you need to start using them. And so that kind of thing happens where one may not be aware that they have these skills or abilities or talents. And, you know, they have a past life in which they were, you know, had all these gifts and all these abilities. Well, those don't get lost. They just get forgotten.
Right.
You know, you think about the little children that are these music prodigies that are playing the piano at 3 years old, like nobody's business, you know, that's a past life talent that brought forward.
Exactly. And would you say that it's almost, you know, your past lives are almost plugged into that memory bank is almost plugged into your DNA or on a cellular level as well?
Yeah, all the memory is available to us. Well, we actually go through a veil of forgetfulness. So these talents and abilities are available to us, but we may not remember them. So at some point, you may feel a draw towards something if it is to serve you in this life. If it's not to serve you, it won't come through. So I was a dancer in a past life. I know it. In fact, people tell me, you were a dancer in this life. They think I am a dancer. The way you stand, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like I had dreams and memories of being a dancer.
Ooh.
But I don't have a desire or a draw to be a dancer. I'm so busy. How could I possibly be a dancer too? You know, it's like there's no way for that one to shine in this life. But
yeah, well, it's, you know, it sounds like you experienced that, you mastered it, and then now, you know, on to new things to learn, new adventures.
On to new things. Yeah,
right.
But we could still, you know, still bring, and for example, the herbologist. I was an herbologist. Well, I'm not an herbologist in this life, but boy, am I I'm a vegan cook and food. You know, it's like I love to cook. I love to create. I love to, you know, do the alchemy in the kitchen, you know.
Oh,
and so that's probably pulling through from this experience of mixing things together and creating something beautiful and delicious. So,
so
we might pull through parts of a past life or parts of a skill or talent that we had that is useful and will serve us in this lifetime.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. And then my last question here is whether you have tapped into some alien past lives.
Oh, yes.
I knew the answer would be yes, but I had to ask it. If you have any kind of anecdote or fun story, I know. Oh, I would love to hear that.
Well, first of all, alien is simply a being that is not from Earth. And so in a sense, we're all aliens.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. That term needs to be like rerouted, reworded.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the alien is basically what we would call an alien life is basically a life lived on a planet other than Earth. And there are many, many, you know, I've had experiences with this. And of course, Dolores Cannon's written tons of books and her convoluted universe theory. She has one. These are big books, a lot of information. And it really stretches your brain. But she has one book that is all about lives on other planets that past life regression she's done where people have had lives on other planets. And so it's very, very common that in our dance through the universe that we've had lives on many different planets and some being very dense, some having physical bodies, not having physical bodies, but more light bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had all these different experiences. And the higher self, when bringing the past life to you, brings the ones that are most important to the life you're living now, that might be important for where you are right now, something you need to know. something you need to remember to help you. So, you know, there are lots of different experiences that people have had and that my clients have had where they've been something else, different form, you know. Different experiences, different densities.
Yeah, together we tapped into my own kind of lifetime. I was just a constant spinning that I was feeling within my body. And it was like I could only explain myself as feeling like a ball of light and just sort of like float, almost like these orbs that you catch in photos.
Yes.
And yeah, so you and I tapped into that together, and that was really unexpected and sort of fascinating. So I know all types of different life forms and experiences and universes. Even I remember Dolores Cannon talking about, oh yeah, not only other planets, other universes, on and on. So
we're just a little teeny little blip on the radar of the cosmos. And, you know, sometimes we think this is it, but there's so much more.
And I love
the thing is that we are consciousness. And when you were in that ball of light, you were still consciousness. You were aware. You were, you know, probably really blissed out because when you, when you're in a ball of light, you're just so connected to the oneness that you're just kind of a bliss ball, really.
Totally.
Yeah. And some people are even planets. I mean, that's another kind of weird thing that you don't think of yourself as a planet, but were you a planet? Were you one of
those?
You were the planet.
I think you're recalling my session. That was the very first thing
Well, you were one of many because there's a lot of people that experience themselves as planets.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What could feel closer to source? You know, source, initial divine energy that just like being a, I was so blissed out, but it's funny. I had this sense of feeling a bit lonely on my planet. And that was the reason I got this sense that was the reason I decided to kind of fractal down and like, okay, I'm going to get a little closer now to some of the other action out there.
Yeah, but it is interesting because you have people be in these really beautiful places of bliss and I remember this a lot from Dolores' sessions where she says, well, something made you leave that experience and come here because you're in a physical body now. So what was it that made you leave? Mm-hmm. So somebody's like in this blissed out place and you know, they're like, well, I never want to leave. I don't want to leave this place. This is just, I'm going to stay here forever. And it's like, well, something happened to make you leave. Because she'll say, I want you to move a little bit forward, you know, move forward in time. Oh, I'm still here. I'm still blissed out. Okay. Well, something made you leave because you're in a physical body right now. I'm having a conversation with the higher self of a physical body. So what was it that made you leave? Move forward to that time where you actually decided to leave this experience. And it's usually a longing, a calling, a boredom, a desire to try something different.
Yeah.
So,
wow. You know, and just from that grand perspective, you know, any kind of, it makes any kind of problem, and I'm using air quotes, feel so, you know, so minuscule. You really have the power to transmute and get through anything. So that just puts it into such great perspective. And, you know, with that being said, I just want to touch briefly on this card that I pulled. And if there's anything that comes to your heart or mind, please speak it. I'm pulling from, of course, the past life oracle card. How fitting. This is Doreen Virtue. Oh. How cool, right? And Doreen Virtue and Brian Weiss, they did this. And so I just kind of asked Spirit to give us, pull a card for the collective here, and what is something in the past life realm that might help us now. And it's interesting, what I got was trees. So, okay, I'll read just a quick bit here. This card indicates that you have a special relationship to trees. In ancient times, particularly in Celtic and Eastern European cultures, trees were considered sacred. The Druids looked to oak trees for prophetic information, and ancient healers used trees' ingredients, such as willow bark, for medicine. Oh my gosh, well, now that I've talked to you, I see where that came into play. Your connection to trees may have been spiritual, including the ability to receive messages from them. In some cases, these seemingly non-sentient trees are animated by real souls known as tree people. You may have been a tree person or a tree diva in this life or a prior lifetime. This card asks you to spend more time connecting with trees for healing, knowledge, and inner peace.
Ooh. That's beautiful. I actually had a client that was a part of a fairy clan that lived inside of a big tree.
Oh my gosh.
So that's very interesting. But the one thing I would just say is that all of life is sacred and everything is alive.
Yes.
And, you know, it's important to realize that and to feel, to work on feeling your connection with all living beings, especially the animals are really needing our help right now. You know, the trees are, all of nature, but the animals that are being so cruelly treated and abused, being used for our meat, are going through hell. And people's consciousness hasn't quite caught up to that yet. Because of the social egoic idea that we need this to survive. We don't need this anymore. The plant kingdom is providing us plenty of nutrients to survive, and we've got to kind of take into consideration the suffering that's happening in the animal kingdom right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Even zoos, to me, I don't feel right about even going to zoos anymore, you know, just all these, all these kind of decisions where we just sort of arbitrarily were like, well, I can talk and move around and I feel like I'm just bigger than you, so I'm locking you up or I'm doing whatever. We are done with that, man.
Well, the narcissistic society is crumbling. It's the one that's going away. It's the one that's falling away. And the narcissistic society is the society that believes that we are superior to all other beings, that we have dominion over the earth, meaning that we should be dominant. And that is not the truth at all. We're supposed to be the caretakers of the earth and the animals and the plants. And we've really gotten distorted in our egos to believe that we're superior and that we can treat plants and animal life any way that we darn well please, without any concern for for what we're doing to them. And that's the past, you know, that's over. Yeah. We're moving away from that now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And this ends on such a beautiful note. I have to just thank you again so much for being here and sharing your time with us. This has been so much fun. I feel lighter just talking to you, you know, just sharing this connection with you and the listeners. And I want to let everyone know where they can find you is KaliaLaRoche.com, and also Pandora's Box on Podbean is so much fun to listen to. Just throw it on and let it rip, and it's like you'll just be blown away. And if there's anything else that you have coming up or something you want to mention or how people can also get in touch with you and look at your work, go for it.
Well, I just want to mention that Pandora's Box Radio is pandoras-box-radio.com. And that will take you to my station that has all my podcasts. And I'm doing videos now, but I also duplicate them as podcasts. So everything will come up on that you can see. And then KaliaLaRoche.com is KaliaH. And then LaRoche is LaRoche.com, and it's also called the Path Back to Self.com. So both will get you to the same place. And narcissismfree.com is my work on narcissism if you're interested in reading more about that.
Yes.
And my music is Kalia.com, KaliaH.com.
Oh my gosh. This has been endlessly fascinating. Thank you so much. I will include all of these links so it'll be easy for people to find and get on board and visit all of your goodies. But thank you again. I'm sending you so much love and blessings, and I appreciate
you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Have a beautiful rest of the day to you and to everyone listening, and I hope your heart is now on.
Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin. Caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in increased productivity and decreased dread in setting alarms. Unexpected enjoyment of the graveyard shift has been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may be a better budget option than drinking coffee. It may also decrease the urge to doze off, skip work, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12. Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin. Caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in increased productivity and decreased dread in setting alarms. Unexpected enjoyment of the graveyard shift has been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may be a better budget option than drinking coffee. It may also decrease the urge to doze off, skip work, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.